Okay, so we started chapter 5. We started Perek Hay. Well, someone's connecting. We started Perek Hay. The 7 differences between somebody who is a Baal Betochen and somebody who's not a Baal Betochen. We saw the first one, I think maybe the second, but I want to just bring you, it's very interesting, Rabbi Victor Milon, the Hagdomiya to this chapter. I was unpacking my svarim, so as they came out, I was looking at them. So I found this sefer. So he says, very interesting. Remember, we're learning a sefer called Chovos HaLevavos, which he calls duties of the mind. He says, when you study the following 7 differences, you'll see that it's practically impossible to distinguish who's trusting and who's not, because they look like they're doing exactly the same thing. From the outside, you wouldn't know. He says, at first glance, you think it's easy to recognize the Baal Betochen. He says, you find a person, he became a bookbinder. He's a bookbinder. So he sits in his office and he binds books. He does 2-3 books a day and he's happy. He sits in his little room there and he smokes his pipe and he does his bookbinding. Oh, absurd. Big Baal Betochen. But his wife's very unhappy because they haven't got Panasa and he can't marry his daughters and she's very bitter. She's complaining that he's sitting there the whole day doing what he's doing. And so on the surface, you look at this guy, you think, yeah, he's a big Baal Betochen. This guy's a big Baal Betochen, but you're making a big mistake, he says. Because you're looking at the external characteristics that are too easy to recognize. He says, the difference is the Chovos HaLevavos is talking about, this is what I wanted to bring this here for, is not even what a person does, it's the way he thinks. The Chovos HaLevavos. They're not in his behavior. And we've seen this many times. Our famous Midrash, the Yalkut Shimoni, that he brings there, the 4 kings, you see that the differences is, they conducted themselves differently in Achinami. But you see that David HaMelech was Oisek fully in Ishtadlis, and he was the biggest Baal Betochen. If you look at those 4 kings, your first Muskel Rishon is that Chizkiyahu was the bigger Baal Betochen. He just went to sleep. He didn't do anything. He had full trust in Hashem. David HaMelech has got less betochen, so he has to make more ishtadlus. You see, it's not like that. Not like that. David HaMelech had more betochen than all of them. That's why he was able to make ishtadlus and not think he was doing anything. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was too scared to make ishtadlus because he thought maybe if he makes ishtadlus, then he might think that he had something to do with it. That's what he's talking about here. Is that our bookbinder guy, you could probably put him in the category of loafers. Victor Miller had a way of saying things. He's a loafer. He says a person has to take a proper job and make a proper ishtadlis. Make a proper job and make a proper ishtadlis. That's the correct way to do things. Betochen doesn't mean that you just do nothing and everyone around you suffering and then you don't do anything. You have to understand where betochen is. So just a very important hagdama when we start dealing with these 7 differences. Just to remember that. It's always good to go to Vigdomali. It puts you in your place very quickly. As a way of taking the wind out of your sails very, very fast. You get confused. You think, oh, yeah, okay. I need Baal Betochen Gadol. I don't have to do this. I don't have to worry. Shem Yazor. Why do we have to have Betochen? We're working on Betochen. We apprentice Baal Betochens. That's what we're doing. We're trying to become more and more Baal Betochen. But we need to be real with ourselves as well and know who we are and where we are. You're learning the Chovos HaLevavos, you're talking about somebody who's already a Baal Betochen. We far from being Baal Betochen. We're not holding there. Okay, so that's just, it was important for me just to bring that in as a Gedoma, just to put into perspective. We're dealing with a person's mindset, his attitudes, his inner peace and calm. On the outside, he might look like a big Baal Betochen. If this says the biggest problem with betochen is it's often used as an excuse for laziness. The person has to know, be honest, where am I really holding? So the first one we see, what the heck is that? The first one we have to know is that we said that he accepts whatever Hashem does, he accepts a Kodesh Baruch Hu's judgment. Hashem loisen, v'Hashem lokoch, yishem, Hashem avarach. Whether Hashem's giving, whether Hashem's taking, whether it's going good, it's going bad. Chesed u'mishpat ashira. That's the Baal Betochen. he's completely, he himself stays unaffected by what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing to him, because he, whatever Hashem's doing to him, he's good, he's happy with it. He's makabel that. So we see how far we are already from that. But that's the difference between someone who's a Baal Batochen and someone who's not. The Baal Batochen is completely regular. No matter what Hashem does, he's makabel, because that's his rotzon. Someone who's not a Baal Batochen, he's always kicking and arguing and butting and complaining. And if he's angry at Hashem, he's very, very cross. He's a very bitter man, because look what Hashem's doing, and why me, and what did I do to deserve this? And that we saw last week. I don't know if we did the second one last week.
We did do the second one last week, but let's go over just quickly.
Okay. Thank you. Someone remembers at least. I don't. I'm going to go through this quickly. Vasheni. כי אבותיך באלוקים נפשוי במנוחה וליבוי שולוי מצד הגזירויס. לדייתו כי הברוך יניגו לטובוסוי, הבוירי יניגו לטובוסוי בעולמה ואחריסו. כמו שאומר. He's got מנוחס הנפש and peace of mind. He has שמח בחלקוי. And he's completely at ease with all the decrees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon him, because he knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will run the world for him in order to give him the best in this world and in the next world. Why is that different from the first one? I thought that was the first one. The first one is Kevatach Belokim Reitze B'dinoi B'chol Inyono. Lo ala toivev ala ro. He thanks Hashem. Yeah, he's not thanking Hashem. He's just. The Menuchas HaNefesh is at peace with it, because whatever Hashem's doing is Latova. Well, you know why that's different from the first one. The Pasuk he quotes from David is Kamo Shama David, Alav Shalom Achle Lokim Doi Minavshi Bim Imenu Tikvosi. For Hashem I wait quietly, for him alone I wait silently, because from him is my hope. I only trust in Hashem. I don't even hope in anybody else. I'm not sure why this is different from the first one. It's the same thing. Yeah. He's thanking Hashem for everything. The first one is the added aspect that he's moide ala toive ala ra. Maybe that's a difference. In the first one, he's emphasizing the difference between the Baal Batochen and the Baal Batochen, is that the Baal Batochen thanks Hashem for the good and the bad. Whereas the Einu Baal Batochen, he gets angry with Hashem when things don't go his way. When it goes good, he takes credit himself. He blames himself when it goes well. When it goes bad, he gets angry with Hashem. That's the focus. Aval, in the second one, we're not talking about that. Not thanking Hashem, he's not doing anything. He's just waiting quietly, knowing that whatever Hashem's bringing, Zet Tov, Kol Tov, this world, the next world, Hashem's manipulating the world in the best possible way for me. Okay. And what about the guy's not a Baal Batochen? V'ashay enenu b'tayach b'elokim, hu b'tza todi v'dayga urabu. He's always worried and in anguish. He's always sad and he's mourning and he's in pain, whether things are good or bad. But during the good times, he's upset because he's not happy with the situation. He wants more. He's always unhappy. The more he gets, the more unhappy he's been getting, because the gap between what he wants and what he has gets bigger and bigger all the time. Uberan, when things are bad, because he doesn't like the situation. He's very upset. He doesn't like what's going on. So when he likes what's going on, he's a misery because it's not enough. And when he doesn't like what's going on, he's a misery because he doesn't like what's going on. So he's never happy. Never, ever happy. You have people like this. A terrible laugh. It never ever happened. I mean, how much they've got.
I don't know if we actually did this show, because I still, it's very hard to see the difference. It sounds very similar to the first one.
Nachon. My guess is as we go through, we'll see they're very subtle. The differences are more subtle, as you would expect in a Rishon. But let's go through them slowly and let's see if we can come back and see where the nafkaminas are here.
Okay.
Maybe look in Rav Miller and see what he says. I didn't go any further. I didn't get a chance to. I just looked at the Agdama there and I thought it was so important. Let's go through. That's for sure different because he's quoting different psukim. That's always a hint. But he's talking about something different here. That's no question. But it's a Rishon, so we expect it to be subtle. But I'm struggling. I agree, Jonathan. I'm a skimmer. I don't see. Maybe in the Etzim Limud it's different, but I'm saying practically I don't see the difference. If you have the second one, well, then the first one looks like it would be Mukhra. I'm not sure. We'll see the order as well. It's probably significant.
But I do hear the way that you were saying, Rabbi. The first one is talking about basically be moide on the good and the bad. That's the mind, and that's the chovas alavavas, and that's the way a person thinks. And the second one is bringing those thoughts into the way that you live, in the way that you feel, your yeshiva das, meluchas hanefesh, is because you moide now, you can be moide and still feel worried. The fact that it's not just in your head anymore, it's come into your being, and you're able now to have yeshiva das, meluchas hanefesh, and to live by that, by what you moide.
Could be. Like that.
Yeah.
I just see, he brings down here one slight difference. He says the psukim that he quoted before, Chesed Mishpat Ashira, Hashem Noisen, Hashem Lokoch, Yishem Hashem Avarach. So there you see there's something good going on and something bad going on, and David the Melech's doing something. He's singing, he's Mavairach, he's singing Shira. Yeah, the possibly says, Afle Lokim Doimi. I just wait quietly, I'm not doing anything. I'm just sitting quietly and waiting for Hashem. So there's clearly a different. There's a menucha, yeah. There's a menucha, yeah, where he's not even singing. He's not singing shiri. He's not mevarach. He's just quietly waiting for Hashem. Once again, I'm not sure. I have to look this up. I don't know. I have to see. Just struck me now. These seven differences. I don't believe that everybody has these. Necessarily have these seven qualities. A Baal B'Tochen has to have all these seven things. I'm not convinced. If you have the first one, you're already a shtikel baal betochen, no? You may not have the second one, but you have the first one. I don't know, we have to go through and see and then come back and have a look and see. If I had the first one and I didn't have the second one, what would be chosah? And vice versa. But you're right, I agree with Shlomi. The first one's focusing more on what David HaMelech is happening something, he's recognizing, he's thanking Hashem, he's praising Hashem, no matter what's happening. In the second one, he's not. He's just sitting quietly and waiting. He's hoping to Hashem. And someone who doesn't trust in Hashem is not waiting peacefully, tranquilly, waiting to see what Hashem's going to do. He's tamid bothered because he's trying to manipulate the situation. He's not hoping to Hashem. He's hoping to himself. He's got this deal going. He wants more of a deal. He's got no matter what's going on, he just made a fortune. I'm telling you, I was with somebody like that. It's impossible to believe. It's impossible to believe. That's why I'm terrified of money. If I could keep my Yetzirah and get lots of money, then I'd be fine. I don't mind. But when you get lots of money, the Yetzirah changes. I saw it happening to somebody. God made $500 million. I was with him a few days after. He just made 500,000, 500 million dollars. $500 million is $500 million, yeah? $500 million, that's proper money by anyone's standards, okay? Nachon? And a week later, the guy, he wasn't happy. He was really plotting the next scheme, the next deal, the next. I couldn't believe it. I was like, whoa. Because I knew the guy before and after. You come, you get that man, the Yetzirah, you get a new Yetzirah. It's a lot of assignment. If you don't control that urge, it's a terrible trap. You ask anybody for $500 million, you'd work again in your life? You must be crazy. Well, go sit and learn. What would I do? $500 million? That's how could you? I wouldn't even have to spend that in two lifetimes. You want more. Why? Because if you don't work on that, that's what's going to happen. You're miserable. Miserable. I'm telling you now. It was a big eye opener for me that it was like, it was shocking. You see, I was there, but see you. And obviously, when things are bad, ubera mit neshul keitzpo v'ukenegetavosav etivu midoysav. When it's bad in his eyes, so then it's the opposite of his rotzon. He doesn't want that. He's got taivas and he's got his personality and he's got what he wants. And Akash Boch is giving him things a lot of say. He doesn't want this right now. V'chein ochamom Shlomo Melech says in Mishle kol yemei oni roim v'toiv leiv mishte tamid. All the days of a poor man, it doesn't mean a poor man who doesn't have money. Talking about a person who's lacking in this, his days always bad. Ubelev toiv, a person who's got a good heart, he knows how to think properly, his life's one big feast. He's at a party. His life's one big party. Poor ya means from the Gemara in the Dorim. Poor ya means doesn't mean that he doesn't have money. It means he's got a poor mind. He doesn't know how to approach properly. There's no betochen. Or the Menorah Chalav obviously brings down here, says that it means somebody who thinks he's poor. This guy just made $500 million. His friend has $2 billion. He's only got $500 million. He's a poor guy. He's flying first class when his friend's got a private jet. That's tragic. Miserable. And don't think it's a joke. The real life people out there that we know that behave like that. So all the days of a poor man are bad. They're always bad. There's nothing you can do to make him happy. Whereas a Baal Betochen, he understands that Akash Baruch Hu's managing the world to the best possible way. So he sits quietly waiting for Hashem to do what he needs to do. He's in good hands. So let's maybe look at the third one. Let's see if we get through it. It's quite a long one. It says like this. Vashlishi, Kiabotach Belokim, Vim is asek besibo is lo yismoich belibolem. Someone who trusts Hashem, even though he is involved in ishtadlus, he's involved in some means of making a living, of being involved in acquiring other worldly benefits. He doesn't live like a hermit somewhere, no. So he is not relying in his heart, it means in his mind. Once again, I'm using the translation of Levi as mind. On those things. He doesn't expect any benefit from them and he doesn't expect any harm from them unless that's what Hashem wants. In other words, he understands that the ishtadlus he's making can't help him and it can't harm him. Again, we're in that very difficult world, Probably the biggest nisoyin of betochen is the ishtadlus. The ishtadlus takes you out of betochen. If you daven hard, that the ishtadlus doesn't mabalbel your betochen. He's making the ishtadlus, but he has no reliance on it. He knows that it can't help him and it can't harm him unless Hashem wants to. The reason he's doing it because that's the rotzen Hashem that he has to do it. So that's why he's oisik in it. Hashem was Asher tzivah lisasek boilam liyashvet. Hashem gave us a mitzvah to be involved in the world and to enhance it, to make it a better world for people to live in. Vim tegiu te'elus o yidoche ben a nezek, if he gets some benefit, or some harm is pushed away as a result of this thing that he does, someone's going to harm him, but he made the status and he was protected. Yoyde lakim levod elze. He thanks Hashem alone for this. Alone. Vile yoysif be'em ava v'chibi yaseira. He doesn't add too much love and endearment to these things that he's involved in. He's not going to, because he was very successful in the ishtadlus that he made, he's going to start loving this job now, or he's going to love this ishtadlus because, wow, look how beneficial it is to me. No. He's not going to strengthen his trust in these things. You want to have more confidence now because, oh, wow, listen, you see, I'm very good at my job and I did a very good job. And now I feel more confident. No. All he does is he mechazeks his betochen in Hashem. His heart is completely relying on Hashem without any kesher to the ishtadlus, to the means that he made, that it came about. He made some ishtadlus. It was very matzliach. He thanks Hashem. He doesn't feel any more love and passion for this ishtadlus. A person loves what he's doing. That's very choshuv. It's a big broch. If a person can enjoy the ishtadlus he's making, it's fantastic. If a person's ishtadlus happens to be something he's good at and he enjoys, I don't know, but the Chovas of himself says that's one of the criteria you have to find when you're making ishtadlus. He's trying to find something you're good at and you enjoy. That's a big brocha. Who is matzliach? Or he's not matzliach. It's an almost shane. His relationship with the ishtadlus stays the same. It's a tzivu from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's why I'm doing this. Ve'im lo yilu ila siboyz. If the occupation in the status is that doesn't bring about the end result that he wants, you trust that the Kosh Boch will bring him from somewhere else when Hashem is ready, and where he wants to bring it from, Hashem will bring it to him whichever way he wants. The opposite, he doesn't become disgusted and upset and angry. Why did I do such a deal? I'm so stupid. What? Who would get involved in such a thing? What did I do? Not kosher to you. You did the correct ishtadlus, and Hashem said no. He's not going to stop doing it. Because the only reason he's doing it, because it's a serving Hashem. It could be some will tell him, when you chose this ishtadlus in the first place, you made a mistake. It wasn't the right ishtadlus to choose based on the criteria that the Chovas Lavavos gives us. Then Mashu Acher could be. But if it's the correct, objectively, someone gave it, told this is the correct ishtadlus, so then you keep doing it, because changing the ishtadlus, miyomah, you ask Aram Godel before you change your ishtadlus. Ask Das Torah. I had a Talmid who used to go to one of the Gedolei Yisrael on a ring. He had access to one of the Gedolei Yisrael. It was a big bracha for him. He was making ishtadlus that this Godel told him was a good ishtadlus for him, and he was struggling financially. Why? He kept coming to me. I said, God, what are you going to ask the God? He told you to do it. I will tell you find something else. It's a lo'alech. He told him, I don't understand. It's the right ishtadlus. The panos is not coming from the ishtadlus. The panos is coming from there. Keep doing it. And he kept. And what happened at the end of all? He kept going back to me. He wouldn't let him change. I was misspoiled. I was very shocked in that. But that's what the Chovas Lavavos is saying. That's the Baal B'tochen. If he doesn't have B'tochen in Hashem, Mis'asik b'sibus letov l'libitchoino aleim shehein mo'ilois oisoi v'doiches ha'nezek malav. He's doing these ishtadlus, he's involved in these efforts because he trusts him, he believes in them. Either they'll bring him benefit or they'll keep harm away from him. So he behaves in the exact opposite of the way that we just saw. If it's going well, he loves it and it's fantastic and he's got a lot of belief in what he's doing. And if it's not going well, he dumps it and he tries something else. If he's got making money, say, oh, look, this is the Valdika, real estate's the thing. That's what you have to be involved in. That's it. Bitcoin, that's where you got to be today. That's the place. You're not in Bitcoin. You're a fool. Look how much money I made. And then the next day, Bitcoin goes plunk. And then what happens? Well, he hasn't got there yet. He's still busy praising it. He becomes excited about it and he won't think about maybe sharing it to somebody else. But if it doesn't work out, he'll dump it. He'll become disgusted with it. Real estate, sugar, it's for goyim. It's not a nice Jewish, not a job for a nice Jewish place. Terrible. He loses interest in it, become bored with it. It says in Habakkuk, he sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his trawl. Talking about a fisherman. He catches fish, so then he starts bringing offerings to the net. It means he praises the net. and he burns incense. He does an offering of thanksgiving to his a troll. What's a troll? A troll is some kind of a ship or whatever. So the vault is he's attributing success to the thing that he did, and then he's off. That's the pasuk in Habakkuk. He sacrifices to his net and burns incense to his troll. They represent the strength and the techniques and his chokhmah and his ishtadlis that he made. When he's matzliach, oh, he brings offerings to them. Oh, gewaldig. And when not, so then he throws the fishing net away and he goes and finds another job. So that's another difference between him. Okay, the fourth one's going into a different area. It's about how a person uses extra funds. The difference between a Baal B'Tochen and a Baal B'Tochen. It's lengthy and it needs a hezbo, so we'll maybe leave that now. It's enough to ponder. Maybe over the week, think about, we've done three now, yeah? Yeah, we've done three. Play around with those three. See where we're holding. Wait for now. Let's see if Melissa says anything here about this. He says the emphasis on the first one is more the thanks. It's more the thanksgiving. It's more the feeling of gratitude towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas the second one relates more to the menuchas hanefesh he has, the tranquility he has. Not so much focused on the thanksgiving. Could be at the end of the day, all these things will click together. You'll need all of them. As long as a person is doing whatever he can do. See, that's always the challenge. Right? It's always the challenge, Lamaisa, is have I done everything I'm supposed to do? Hashem's going to take care of me, whatever. There's always this niggling, nagging, you know, worry. But who says, maybe you didn't do everything you had to do. Maybe you have to do more. Maybe it's not posh. It's a big nisoin. Big nisoin. Okay. Bezrat Hashem. Let's stop there. That's 9:30.
Thank you, Rabbi. Shkoyach.
Thank you. Just the last to think through, Rabbi.
No, this is all about it. When we finish the safe, we start again and we start thinking through again and we start adding more because it's not just theory. We're trying to practice this.
Yeah.
Trying to be aware Shkoyach. All the time. Trying to be aware all the time and watching ourselves and seeing. I had any sign. How did I deal with it? You know, afterwards, analyzing it afterwards and doing cheshbon afterwards to see in the moment you don't get yourself, in the moment you lose yourself, you get upset, you get worried, you get scared, sad, and that's where we hold it. Then afterwards you step in and say, okay, what would have given me menucha? Had I had what, would this situation have been different? That's where the work is. The work is afterwards to step back and do a cheshbon and say, how could I have dealt with this differently? Next time I'll be more aware. To spend five minutes a day, just cheshboning out. Maybe not everything you did, because that might take too long, but just at least one of the things that stands out in your day where you had a nisoin in betochen, how did you deal with it? You know, you were phoning somebody, you had to get hold of them urgently, and they weren't answering. Simple thing like that happened to me yesterday. I was trying to get hold of somebody in the chuf, and I couldn't. I was platzing. Afterwards, when I thought about it, it was like, Kodesh Baruch is in charge of the phone. What are you talking about? If Hashem wanted to answer, he would have answered. There's a Kodesh Baruch here. Why were you getting upset? What's called reasonable? You phoned him three times. You left a message. Gesundheit, you've done everything more than that you're not supposed to do. Now get on with your life. Why are you worrying? Why are you panicking? So next time it happens, hopefully I'll be a little bit more. Maybe I'll only phone him 15 times instead of 16. But that's where we're going to grow. We're not going to grow because in the moment we were big Baalei B'Tochen and everything was fine. We're not holding there. That's not us. But maybe when we catch ourselves afterwards and we think a little bit, next time we'll be a little bit better. Bezrat Hashem. Laila Tov.
Oh, have a good night. Thank you.